Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the first half of the show, we break down the Alec Baldwin roast, and we also include some of the ones you may not have seen on TV. Quite a few, because I know them. I have them. And we do Eat Your Feelings with Gina Grad as well. First, Blue Chew, bluechew.com. Like sex? Sure you do. Trick question. Try bluechew.com, performance enhancement for the bedroom. The first chewable with the same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis can work up to 2 times faster than pills as well. Gets right into that bloodstream. And you can go to bluechew.com and you can check out an affiliated physician and they'll work with you and find the best dosage and active ingredient. Online consult is free. So it's cheaper than those pills as well. No awkward in-person doctor visit or pharmacy line. Ships direct to your door in a discreet package and made in the U.S. of A. Chew it and do it. Visit BlueChew.com. Get your first order free with promo code Adam. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Adam. Support for the Adam Carolla podcast comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Imagine how it feels to have an award-winning team by your side through every step of the mortgage process. That's exactly what you get with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage does more to help you understand the home buying process so you can get exactly what you need. They've helped millions of Americans achieve their dream of home ownership. When you're ready to purchase your home, and the home of your dreams, they can help you as well. J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 6 years in a row. When you work with them, you get more than just a loan because Rocket Mortgage is more than just a lender. Right, Dawson?
Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is The Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, political analyst Mike Murphy calls in. With Gina Grad on news and a new recipe in Eat Your Feelings. Plus Bald Brian on sound effects and Dave Damashek's here for good sports. And now, out of respect for Rick Ocasek, he'll refrain from ranting about all the bands that should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before the Cars. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing with a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
And Baldwin.
Quiet.
There's Baldwin. Yeah, I like the Cars. I've always liked the Cars. I've always liked their deep cuts much more than their poppy, lots of spin
kind of like
songs.
The Police in that respect. Like, yes. I like their some Police songs I like, not the ones I always hear.
Yes, yes. They are 100% simpatico, the same, and that the Police have, like, they're kind of wrapped around your finger stuff, like, stuff you just keep hearing over and over and over.
Roxette again.
Right, right. And I don't think you would call those bad songs. They're just effed out versus some of the deeper cuts, which are a little raw, a little more raw, a little more interesting.
Yeah, you're 100% right with those songs. Classic rock radio has ruined us. Like, if you heard Hotel California or Every Breath You Take for the very first time today, your mind would be blown. But if you heard it for the millionth time today, you'd be like, oh, fuck this again.
Right, right. So there's that, and I feel the same way. So, yes, the Cars and Police are both the same. They have deeper cuts. If you get those albums, you'll love those albums, and you'll love the deeper cuts that you almost never hear on the radio. So I was thinking about that. Also, Rick Ocasek, he's led a pretty good life.
Had a
model wife.
Paulina Parker.
Seemed to have some balance between celebrity and reclusiveness that seemed to work for him. I don't know what it was, but it seemed he didn't seem bothered by the paparazzi. Yeah. He was out there enough, but he wasn't pushing himself. Like I don't know. I never met him. I don't know anything about him other than he seemed to be able to do it on his terms.
Yeah.
He seemed to be able to navigate this crazy world
kind
of on his terms.
He got into producing and cultivating younger bands and sort of, you know, spreading his knowledge forward. A friend of mine, he produced their album. And, yeah, he was a super, he was a Renaissance man.
I was looking at a couple of the songs. I realized that Benjamin Orr, who died earlier in the year, 2000? God, he died early, didn't he? There's 53 at the time. He had a few songs like All Mixed Up and Bye Bye Love. I actually enjoyed his stuff. I think probably more than the Rick Ocasek stuff. But
is he the one who sang Drive, Dawson?
Ben Orr sang Drive, yeah.
Yeah. So, yes.
I drunkenly ruined Christy's night one night when we were going to bed, and I started singing the song. He's like, I don't know that song. I'm like, you know the song? I think I played it like 7 times in a row. She tried to go to bed.
Did she not know the song?
The way I was singing it, she didn't know it.
That's not on her.
Yeah. Mm. And she's like, oh, yeah, this song. I'm like, we're listening to this again.
So they ran the roast, which I didn't actually see yesterday, but I just got a sort of reporting back on some stuff. They do the usual cuts for time, but they always cut a few, and they'll do it in such a way that it kind of doesn't make sense.
Messes with the flow.
And one joke they cut, which got a good response in the room, and it had been getting a good response, which is the first joke, which was me and Sean Hayes, and I was explaining, it was sort of out of the gate. So the problem is the next joke, see, cutting for time is fine, but when it starts getting confusing, that's when it becomes difficult, because then you'll go, the next joke is sort of while we're on the topic of the first joke. But if you cut the first joke, then we're just on the topic out of...
They cut your establishing
out
joke?
Out of the blue. Yeah, the establishing joke was... Do we have that from the Comedy Store? So I recorded me doing some of these jokes at the Comedy Store, and I have the script.
They're like, Sean Hayes is here. Like, he is?
I set it up by saying, here's on... who. You know, if you hear me say Robert De Niro, it's because he's on the dais kind of thing, and Sean Hayes is the master of ceremonies. And... So I went and recorded myself doing a couple of the jokes up at the Comedy Store because I wanted to hear what the reaction was, and I wanted to also give them to Mike Lynch so he could kind of hear what the reaction was to the jokes as well. But again, keep in mind I'm standing on stage holding a piece of paper, reading it. Like, sure. I'm not really delivering it like a joke, so it's not quite what you'd want. I don't know. You got the first Sean Hayes one? So I recorded myself up in the belly room one night and on the main stage the other night. The belly room is much more intimate and much more sort of, you can hear people, their sort of sounds that come out of them. But the main room is more of a bigger audience. Yep. So you kind of get a more feeling for it. All right. Max Patty, you want to buy a little time?
This one. You did the Sean Hayes joke in the belly room, so this is.
I did it on the main stage too. But you can play the belly room; it's fine.
Okay, here we go.
Sean Hayes, everybody. Sorry for my radio voice. So funny. You remind us of a bygone era when gay people had a sense of humor.
Well, they cut that.
You're represented by a group called GLAAD, but you're the angriest fucks on the planet.
That I cut.
Seriously, I love the gays. I've always kind of wondered what it'd be like being blown by a dude. I imagine it'd be a lot like wearing Crocs.
This did make it. Mm-hmm.
It feels great. Until you look down. How about the triumphant return of Will and Grace? Sean Hayes, what a comeback, everybody. Incidentally, Sean's nickname in high school was Comeback.
That's good. Did you perform that one?
Yeah.
That's good.
It must have been in a different order. That was on the main stage. Mm. That wasn't in the belly room. I must have done a different order in the belly room. But anyway... it started with Sean Hayes, everybody. Hey, Will and Grace, everybody. What a comeback. Incidentally, Sean's nickname in high school was Comeback. So that got me. And then I always, then it sort of led into, I was like curious what it'd be like being blown by a dude. So it sort of led into it.
Yeah, the final script had, had the Will and Grace thing second and then the Crocs thing last. And it just cut right to your Crocs joke, which was actually the tag of the entire piece.
Right. So it was a little tough.
When do you find that information out? You're trying to get a set together.
It's just on. It's just how they just cut it up. That's all.
Oy.
And, you know, I get it. You got to do it. I mean, you got to cut stuff. I ended up doing a little under 5 minutes. You know, some people went a little over 5 minutes. You know, I'm not going to complain. De Niro went 6 minutes. You know, it's fine. But, like, there was a few comedians that, like, went over five. It could have given me that 28 seconds back. Would have probably
broken the evening.
Set the table. I didn't know if it was too dirty for them or, like, what their deal
Did you hear the rest
was.
Of the night?
No,
I didn't there see
was,
it yet.
It was
so.
No hold. I had to buy Comedy Central last night to watch the roast. Mm. And I love the roast, and I'm glad I did because it was a great show. But, no, that would not have been the dirtiest joke.
Yeah, that was appropriate.
They did not do it for that.
Interesting. The only thing I heard them bleep was cunt.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
So there was that joke got cut, which I like because it set. I like the joke. Comeback was his nickname in high school, but I also like that it kind of helped get me into the gay stuff. But then that was fine. And then there was the last one with Baldwin, which it got a big Comeback got a big laugh in the room, and the last one got a big laugh with him, too. But I don't know. But they cut that one, I think, too.
All right. Alec. That's Alec Baldwin. Your family isn't here because you hate them. Your colleagues aren't here because they hate you. And your best friend isn't here because he hung himself in a Manhattan prison cell.
That's good.
Yeah, like the best friend.
It's good.
How much you miss that airplane, buddy?
Yeah, all right.
Where was that?
I don't know why they cut that one. Mm. It was my end. Also, it was my end joke.
Wow.
It was like, here's where we're at. Like, we're done now.
Well, that's good.
Well, he did give you a big hug and say how. I think it was, quote, fucking funny, man.
He's a sweet guy.
It was funny because they mic'd him and played it for a lot of the reactions, you know what I mean? Like the shake hands, the hug, whatever. And there were mixed. Some were, hey, great job. And some were, there you go. And then some were like, that's like you and the black kid he loved. You
know Chris Redd.
Yeah, Chris Redd. Oh, I had a Chris Redd joke cut too.
Guys. Here tonight. Alec loves untalented brothers. He's got three of them.
That's good. I couldn't carve out 12 seconds for that?
That could have been 9.
I meant the laughter. I meant the extended laughter.
And then I have another Chris Redd one here, too.
Chris Redd, I was worried about you when I heard the unfunny black dude was leaving SNL. Thank God they were talking about Leslie Jones.
That's good.
I don't know.
They
look at that as a hate crime. I think... The last time somebody knocked around Leslie Jones a little bit,
it turned
into a thing. Mm. And I just think they don't want that. Like,
well, maybe they were focusing on the unfunny part and not the dude part, which was pretty funny.
It had to be specifically Leslie Jones because Caitlyn Jenner took every joke in the book last night. So it couldn't have been because you called her a dude.
Leslie Jones is a little bit of an endangered species. Like,
brothers don't do that.
She has a little protection. Mm-hmm. And there was that whole thing where she kind of got knocked around a few years ago, and then she fought back, and then it kind of turned into this
thing. If she was on the dais, you could make that joke.
Right.
But if she's not, that's just shrapnel, friendly fire.
Right, right. We have the Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, I have a Caitlyn Jenner joke that got cut. Again, these are just sort of, I'm reading off a script in the belly room or something, but at least we have them recorded in front of an audience. Mm. Sorry.
I haven't done a roast in a long time. Like, the first roast I did was, God, it's been almost 20 years. It was the Hugh Hefner roast I did almost 20 years ago, back in 2001. Back then, I was a young man and Caitlyn Jenner was a middle-aged man.
Got a good reaction. Like, that's one of those... I like for me, I like comeback joke. That's a funnier joke or better joke for me. But then there's also jokes that are just work on a more universal level, and that joke worked well at the roast. I don't know why do we have to cut that one? Anyway.
Yeah, they're like really quick, so I don't understand why you would cut those
they just cut every. I mean, they cut everybody. Yeah. Like that. At a certain point, that's what they. I think they try to get you somewhere around 5 minutes. What it does.
I wouldn't remember because you're so in the moment. But do you remember any great joke that landed from someone else that maybe you didn't see? Did you watch the roast, by the way? The final product?
No, I haven't seen the final product yet. I
wonder if anyone's great joke didn't make it for whatever reason.
I will say that on stage, because of how they had the feedback monitors or the whatever, I was like the guy in the band who couldn't really hear the song that well. You would have some difficulty on some of the performances hearing what the joke was or exactly what the joke was. Now, some were... I do remember some, and I do remember, you know, good reactions and stuff like that. But I was having a hard time hearing some of the actual jokes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I remember what live show it was. Gina, I don't know if you were even here at this point, but it was Denver or somewhere in the middle-ish of the country that I couldn't hear anything anyone was saying on stage.
That's me every show. That's why I stare at your mouths for two hours.
One that was worse. There was one that was like, I'm not following what's happening. This is a disaster.
Oh, yeah. With Dawson, I'm always like, Dawson, is there a monitor? Like, I'm going deaf. I read your lips every show.
Right. It is, sometimes it's that way, and there was a little bit of that going on with me. I couldn't fully hear some of this stuff.
What was the Larry David joke that he loved?
Oh, the Larry David joke. I think Chris has that one, doesn't he? Probably in there somewhere. It's a very Larry David.
I assume it's one in midair.
Well, joke.
This one midair, but here's them at the comedy club doing it.
Alec Baldwin. All right, you got to hang with me on this one. Alec Baldwin and Robert De Niro, both amazing actors. But if I've learned one thing from the whole Harvey Weinstein story, it's that acting isn't that hard. I mean, what other job works this way? You want to be a commercial airline pilot? Okay, blow that fat Jew.
Yeah, of course he liked that one.
Yeah, of course he liked that one. Because he was going, it's true! Yeah. It's true!
It's funny because it's true!
It is a very rare profession.
Oh, yes, indeed.
All right, and... be curious. That we should probably have gotten from the row since it did air, but anyway.
It was fun, and I knew we were going to go over your jokes, so I grabbed a couple, like two or three of the ones that weren't from you that I thought were hilarious wanted to see what you liked.
This is your last show.
Nikki Glaser, she says to Caitlyn Jenner, I fucking died, when she said, what does the Republican Party have to do to lose your support? Become your son?
Yeah, that was a great line. That was a great line.
I wrote down a bunch, but one of my other favorites was Caroline Ray looks like if Caitlyn Jenner got a sex change at a Build-A-Bear store.
It's funny, too.
And she was great.
She was awesome. She was awesome.
Wait, Caroline Ray?
Yes. Oh, yeah. She's fantastic.
I was going to say, I guess Caitlyn was okay.
Yeah, she did her thing. She was Caitlyn.
And Nikki was great, too.
Oh, yeah.
But Nikki got out, and so did Caroline. They did like a long set.
Oh, really?
Which is like, I think it's one of those things where they go, it's just going to be 5 minutes. Like, just keep it to 5 minutes. And then everyone goes, fuck it, we're going 20. Mm. And it was one of those, maybe 15, but it was one of those things. But yes, very funny.
What was Blake Griffin's, connection to Alec Baldwin? Or was he just the random celebrity because everyone else seemed to be a friend of his to some degree or worked with or whatever. Or comedian, roast comedian. Like, he was very out of left field. Did you ever find out? Does he know Alec Baldwin?
No, I think he's just random celeb.
Sometimes he throws in.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good.
I think he's been doing stand-up.
Oh.
It's funny because some of the jokes they pitch you are like, Blake Griffin, that was so unfunny, blah, 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 blah. But I never use those because I'm like, what if he's funny?
Well, he's
I don't know that he wasn't funny.
You said, I don't know if you're just being a little hyperbolic, but you said that you did use one joke that was pitched to you. Did you use one joke or no?
I had a couple that were pitched. One they cut, I think. Do you have the De Niro? De Niro liking the black chicks? Yeah.
He gave a thumbs up to that, right? Said he dates the sisters or something?
Yeah, that was in there.
Yeah. He does. Do you have
that? This is a tag to that one, though.
Oh, but do we... Well,
it's about the messy divorce, right?
Yeah.
Robert De Niro, you've been in more black women than the Ebola virus.
That did not make the air.
No, it did not.
So he did that one after the carbon dating joke.
Right. That was the tag on that one.
Sure. Yeah.
It wasn't even my joke. So female comedian, I think by the last name of McQueen.
Melissa
McQueen said, oh, you know, here's some jokes. I was like, oh, that's funny. I think it was hers. Made me laugh either way. I was like, fuck it.
It was a great show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Oh, good. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
2 hours is long, but it feels like it leaves you wanting more. Like, I could have done with another half hour of that.
Well, and his response was just, mwah. Yeah, it was just great. Everything you wanted it to be.
He seemed genuinely surprised and a little off his game when Ireland went up there.
Yes,
like he was doing some very pointed fake laughing. You know what I mean?
Oh, well,
like,
he was encouraging his daughter.
I know. I don't think he was upset, but I think he was definitely taken aback. He wasn't like, this was not on the menu.
Yeah, her closing joke was great. I'm going to say something to the audience. That my dad has never said to me. Oh. Good night.
That was great.
Something else that wasn't held in 1997. Me.
Yeah, she. Whoever was writing for her, they knocked it out of the park.
Pretty yeah, they write.
She didn't.
I. They feel like the crew wrote those, or like their writing room wrote those. But all good, and she's fun. It's always crazy to me when women who are 6'1" wear like 4-inch clogs.
Yeah, the
like,
wedges.
They cut away on the red carpet. Like, why do they fucking shoes?
Literally, I mean, she must be 5'11 and a half, and she puts those clogs on, and she is 6'4".
Yeah, gilding the oak tree.
You get in between her and Caitlyn Jenner. So where you start struggling with your sexuality a little bit. All right, I got some footage, not yet, Max Zapata, but Gina Grad. Be prepared to melt. Brian, you'll enjoy it as well.
All right.
Which is went down... God, I don't know. Natalia wanted a kitten. It was like kitten adoption, whatever.
Oh.
I was like...
Something else to neglect?
Yeah. It's like, okay. Yeah, that's what I
Something
said.
Something else fulfilled to eat?
Yeah. And so we went down and we got adopted, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's like at the Petco.
Yeah,
you know,
have adoption
you fill out
or
the
whatever.
Paperwork. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's like $160 or something. And then you just push the cart through the thing, and they buy all the food and whatever
all the cats.
The stuff the cat needs. Yeah. And so
yeah, scratching post.
Yeah, yeah, it's all the junk. Just throw it. Like it's always bittersweet because I'm like, this is way more than my parents ever spent on me in my entire life. It was like the cat was like, you know, $140, and all the other junk's like $165. It's like, can you imagine your parents? The parents were. They never bought anything more than $8. Like, like a pair of tough skins.
Well, back in the day, it was, can we keep it? Because you found the dog or the cat on the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or somebody just had them in a box and they're in front of the supermarket.
Store.
Like, well, we came here to get Ovaltine, but okay, I'll take a companion. Like, such a weird random move. Like, at the supermarket, just handing you stuff in a box. So,
So did the cat go home with you, or is it one of those layaway situations?
Yeah. Cooling off period. Yeah.
The cat
did a home visit.
The cat came home, and I thought, Phil is such a big moose, but he's also such a big teddy bear. Yeah. But Phil always wants companionship. Phil, he sees other dogs or other any living creature,
if you show one crescent around the other, I'm a little
no.
If it's sleeping on Phil, I'm gonna
freak out. But Phil if you come into the house, he's on top of you. If you're new, he's really on top of you. He comes down, he licks the back of your knees. That's his move. But he wants to hang out, see everyone, and visit every dog we pass by. And if there's one through a fence, barking at him, like showing their teeth, he doesn't care. He'll just hang out. And I don't get it, but I knew Phil would have a fun time with his new little companion. So I took a little footage of it, and I'll play you that second. First, teencounseling.com. Connect your 13 to 19-year-old with a licensed professional counselor. Where they spend their time on a smartphone, people, starts with a short questionnaire. Help them understand your teen and their needs. Then you're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials and directly communicate with your counselor. Make sure it's a good fit. Easy and free to change counselors if it's needed, then probably won't be. More affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available. You visit teencounseling.com/Corolla. Help your teen take charge of their mental health. It's tough to negotiate and navigate out there. All sorts of celebrities making fun of your big teeth. I mean, it's rough on teens. This isn't cathartic. I'm talking about the teens. Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off first month. Teencounseling.com/Carolla. All right.
Lay it on me.
Fierce Phil. He was in. I took the cat. Kevin, I put the cat in my office.
Kevin.
And Phil's just. All Phil wants to do is lick this cat.
Poor cat.
God.
So the cat is atop an ottoman, sort of a bench,
right. A
bench seat.
Bench.
Yeah. Right.
And Phil is doggedly, no pun intended, pursuing, licking. Look at his tail.
All he wants to do is lick this
the
cat.
The tail is the size of the cat. Phil's tail is the size of the cat.
But neither are afraid.
No, but Phil's,
you don't think the cat's afraid?
No, the cat would have run away and arched its back. The cat's chilling.
Phil's just licking his whole head over and over again.
The tail would be down, the ears would be back. He's going to eat him. Oh, God, don't eat him.
He nibbles him.
That's perfect dog and perfect cat.
Yeah,
the dog just like, what's going on? What's going on? Let me lick you.
Right.
Babies.
And every once in a while, the kitten will swat Phil with his paw, but Phil doesn't really care.
Phil's tongue is bigger than the cat's head.
Yes.
Oh, my.
This is amazing. You're a Disney movie.
That cat's not happy.
I think he's okay.
They got to get used to each other, right?
Sure.
Did you name the cat Kevin?
Natalia named the cat Kevin because she's like, look, Phil's a person name and Kevin's a person name.
I love
and
the
we
name
need,
Kevin.
And we need person names. So we're being consistent. So,
oh, my God.
We'll put that up at adamcarolla.com.
It's Mazel funny. Tov.
Yeah. Funny that Phil just all he's so happy that there's another creature in the house.
Oh, God.
A guy was killed by a magpie. I don't know if you guys got this tweet. I got this tweet.
I don't know.
Guy was.
Oh, you'd remember.
Guy was riding a bike and was like dive bombed by a magpie and like knocked him off his bike and he hit his head.
Oh, he's dead?
Jesus.
Dead.
Oh, Jesus.
In Australia. Yeah.
That's one hungry magpie.
Yeah, the magpies, I mean, look, birds, they're angry, everybody. They're coming for you, man. And if you're, if you're jogging or riding a bike or whatever, riding a skateboard or on a motorcycle or something, and this thing hits you in the head, you're going over the handlebars.
Right.
It's hard to deal with that. I think as human beings, from the sky, it's tough psychologically. Yep. Also there's no part of that bird that hits you that's not sharp. It's
right.
Just either beak or talon. And the guy just got knocked off his bike and I guess killed by him.
Jesus. Well, I wonder what attracted the magpie to this dude's head.
I think the deal is you can invade their territory or stumble upon their world unbeknownst to you. Mm-hmm. It's like it's all that, the shark thinks you're a seal.
Right.
Like,
they
all just think you're something.
Right.
They don't seem to be able to delineate between a guy on a bike or a coyote, like coming at their nest or whatever it is. And it just kills you.
Well, and their magpies aren't very big. This one, I mean, I'm looking at it here. It could be between 1.5 and 2 feet, which is big. But you think of like a condor.
The thing about the thing at your head, like, bullets don't weigh that much either.
That is a good point.
I mean, it's kind of about velocity and angle of attack.
And you know, element you know of mean? Surprise.
And a little element of surprise.
The Ebola virus is practically weightless.
That's right. And yet it's been in so many black women. When the thing just comes at
my
you.
My God.
Yeah.
It's death wow. right there.
So,
it's the last thing you see.
It's called the Tyrannica for a reason.
It's in the Crow family.
Wow.
So I may
That's
be.
That's his Latin name?
Yeah.
I may be using my, you know, I've adjusted my crow to raven. I may go from raven to magpie, or maybe just all of them.
I think magpie's in that class, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll train them all.
Yeah. You heard about that woman in San Francisco, Adam, who crows are like delivering her presents on her fire escape?
Yes.
Yeah. This is big.
Brilliant. Brilliant animals.
Right. All right. Let's see.
I have a roast question we didn't get to. When Fitz Dog was here the other day, you guys were joking about you really don't know how people see you until you're roasted. Mm-hmm. And there were some funny jokes, and you, of course, were, you know, a great sport about it. Was there anything that was just like, go fuck yourself?
No, I mean, I don't really.
Thanks, Brian.
I pay attention to that less than most,
I guess. Because you did seem to have a pretty hearty smile for most of them. You did say, or at least they cut it to make it look like you said, fuck you to Jeff Ross when he said, you know, hire women to write your jokes.
Oh, yeah. I don't.
I got the impression you were flipping off the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
Recall. Well, again. What happens is there's some sort of, I'm doing an interview. Somebody says, who's funnier, men or women? I go, men are funnier, but Sarah Silverman and Kathy Griffin are funny than any dude I went to high school with. And then it just turns into Adam Kroll said women weren't funny.
And it's cemented.
Right. And so it just becomes, I'm the guy who says women aren't funny. I have a bad habit. And I'm not even really meaning it the way it's going to sound, which is if you're interviewing me and you ask me a question, I really feel compelled to answer it. Like, I never can go, oh, you know, they're both,
you know.
I just go, I just answer it. Like, if you ask me, in my mind, and it was funny, I did a long interview for some New York whatever, and it was at the end where the guy just asked it. And I guess it worked for him. But my... I don't go, men are funnier than women, or see, my choices are when you ask me that question. My choice is either men are funnier than women, women are funnier than men, or it's like a statistical dead heat.
Right.
So I know many more male comedians, but comedians are, you know, Jeff Ross wants to get his dick sucked. Like, who's going to blow Jeff Ross? Who's going to blow Jeff Ross, the beekeeper?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're looking for an answer? I really don't know.
Right. So,
it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Right. But Jeff Ross, the Roastmaster, might have a better shot at that. Yeah. So that's what guys are trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so thus, there is more of us who work harder at that because from an evolutionary standpoint, it helps us. Whereas women, it's a plus, but it's probably the part where you get laid because of your sense of humor is almost neither here nor there. You're getting laid anyway. You'll decide. So, but anyway, I don't really care.
Fun.
Yeah, I don't care. It's kind of a weird thing when it turns into something, and then it takes on a life of its own, and then you can't really unring the bell. It's just sort of what happened.
My advice: lead in. Make that your act.
Yeah. So
who said you were only there to fit everyone for their cage size or fitting people for cages?
Oh.
That was a good one.
I think it was Baldwin.
Was it Baldwin? Okay, that was at the end then.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how, you know, you get there's kind of weird things. Like people don't they don't like a lot of nuance in general. But they'll do a lot of like political stuff or women stuff or like whatever stuff, and I'm pretty free range on most everything.
No cages.
I'm an atheist, man. Like I'm kind of libertarian atheist. I know certain shit doesn't work, and I know certain shit does work, and I always speak my mind about it. But it's not based on an agenda. Right. It's just like if you give kids free breakfast and free lunch, they get folded into the system, then they become kind of a ward of the system, and then they get fucked. And then they lose their muscles and their ability, and I want mama cooking eggs. But that then turns into a strong political thing, right. But it's a psychological thing. It's more from doing Loveline than it is to do with anything political. It's just I've heard it.
Yeah.
I've heard it. And I've seen it myself. I've seen what happened to my mom. This here's a free house. Here's here's some food stamps. It's called a life, and that's what she did.
Right.
So, like, there are things I know, and I voice my opinion on those things. And like, you know, when Gavin Newsom is talking about half of Black and Hispanics don't have access to checking accounts, I want to know what the problem is. Is that a policy at the bank? Like, is that a bank policy? And if so, let's work on it. But if that's not a policy, then what's going on and what are we going to do to fix this?
What's a follow-up question, Newsom?
But I feel the same. I feel basically the same way with, like, voter ID. Like, when they go, a lot of these folks of color don't have access to an ID. I go, well, let's get a bookmobile and make it an ID mobile and drive it into the city that they're living in and sign them up like we do with the bloodmobile or the bookmobile or something. Let's get them IDs so they can travel and go to the airport and check stuff out. Like,
racist.
Whatever. Like, yeah, I don't go like, yeah, well, because we live in a racist society. I'm like, well, that may be true simultaneously, but
let's fix it.
2019, not having ID seems like it'd be difficult to flourish. Without an ID is what I'm saying.
I don't know, man. I'm going to say it's a good thing this material didn't make the roast. This would not have gone over that well in the room.
Entertainment Weekly put a Hitler joke on the 23 most brutal jokes of the roast.
What's a Hitler joke?
That wasn't really even a Hitler joke.
Was it
Bruce Jenner joke?
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
No.
All of a sudden you're
the
Hollywood
Republicans
is.
Versus, yeah.
Oh, let me hear it.
Fucked up Hollywood is. Bruce Jenner announces he's transitioning and everybody applauds it. But when they find out he's a Republican, they're outraged. Cut your dick off, hero. Cut taxes, Hitler.
Baldwin love that one.
Baldwin's having a laugh. Baldwin is, you know, they cut something at the end where I basically just said, and there's a couple jokes that cut, so remember. We know the Chris Red one. Here's a one where I make fun of Caroline Ray. We all know Alec from Match Game, but Caroline Ray's on a new game show. Oh, sorry. Karen, I rewrote this one 10 times. She's on a game show called Ding Dong. It's on the Ring Doorbell Network. She orders Grubhub, and the driver has to guess who the fuck she is.
That's pretty good.
It's a cross between Cash Cab and Suicide.
Yeah.
The one I wrote for Baldwin, it wasn't really even a joke, but, I'll give you a couple that cut out here. So we got the Ebola virus. On to the man of the hour, Alec Baldwin. We've been friends since the 90s. When I was on MTV, Alec was on TV on a streetcar named Desire, and his wife, Hilaria, was on a changing table. Your brother, Steven, is an obnoxious, born-again Christian. Alec, I know you secretly wish you'd convert from born again to dead already.
I can't believe that didn't make it.
It's funny. Yeah, they did one where they did the Match Game joke. Welcome back to Match Game. But I said to Baldwin, when did you turn into the white Steve Harvey? Which they did cut. that was the end joke. What I said about Baldwin, what they did cut, and I don't know why, but I did kind of mean it. Because this is like Baldwin in a nutshell, which is Alec, your great friend and a great actor. Who else can become Stanley Kowalski and Charles Nelson Reilly?
It's true.
Yeah.
What else do you need to know about a guy's act? I don't know
That's
why they
bread.
Cut that one, but it's like, who else does Charles Nelson Reilly in Streetcar Named Desire? Like, that's his range. That's who he is.
What you want of an actor.
Yeah. All right, Gina Grad, you're going to step out and start heating some things up for eat our feelings here. Mm-hmm. Let's see. What do I got to complain about?
Thank God she's gone.
Done funny one?
I'm still here.
Let's see.
It's just us stand-up comedians now.
Oh, and the... See now, we're getting into this world. Speaking of unfunny or whatever, we're always talking about Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're kind of wondering about how woke they are. Right. Like, I have to factor the woke in. I was just looking at Hustlers, the new J Lo one. It's like the chicks doing the high. Saw the movie.
Yeah.
It's high with the critics. I was shocked. It's lower with the people. Mm-hmm. What do you? I mean, you're not ready for a review, but thoughts.
I'm curious what the people score is. Remember, we're going to find it. So my hunch,
it's like 80s with the critics and 60s with the people, or something like that. And I think anytime you get together like this multi-ethnic group of women and they go out and do guy stuff, they get the bump.
Interesting. Okay, yeah, that's interesting. So I didn't know the audience score until just now. It's 68% against 87% for the critics. Chris, look at the top critics real quick. I'll bet it's even higher than that.
So you saw the film?
I saw the film. My guess with movies like this, what is it? Anyone?
Oh, I don't know. Do they have type critics anymore?
They do. It's just harder to get to on the website, okay. But it's 86.
There you go. It's about the same. So, I liked Hustlers quite a bit. That's a really good movie. My guess with movies like this, when it's J-Lo, like J-Lo is super pop culture, super popular, crosses, you know, she's a crossover star. You know,
right.
Everyone likes, your fucking mom likes, not your mom, but our moms all like J-Lo. So when a J-Lo movie comes out and it's a little, this movie surprised me. It was kind of gritty. It was not a J-Lo movie that I was expecting. It took me by surprise and I was like, halfway through, I'm like, damn, this is a pretty good movie. I think it took the masses, were expecting something else. We're expecting maybe a little more flash, a little more popcorn, a little more pop, and it's not that. This is actually kind of a gritty movie, and it is not out of the realm of possibility that J-Lo gets a Best Supporting Actress nomination from this movie. She's excellent.
Oh, I believe she can do anything she wants.
So I'm inadvertently shitting on your point a little bit, but this is a really good movie.
Oh, it could be.
I liked it a lot.
I don't know. It's always the...
And I think the audience was expecting something else.
What were you expecting when you went in?
Probably the same thing they were, which is just sort of like, you know, girl power, pop, you know, sort of glossy, a sheen on it. Like, you know, it's just kind of not a very serious movie. A little more rock and roll or pop music than it was actual, like, kind of gritty and kind of dark.
And what'd you make? Gina Grad is back, by the way.
Yeah.
Gina Grad's Eat Your Feelings, brought to you by Butcher Box.
She could not stop eating the sugar and the grains. Then our friend Betty helped her lose the weight she gained. Now she's cooking healthy meals at night, and ever since then her clothes aren't as tight. It's time for Eat Your Feelings. Do some healthy eating with Gina's recipe.
So today, you like it?
Yeah.
Good. Today I got a beautiful package from ButcherBox the other day, and I used their sumptuous, succulent pork shoulder, and I braised it. So this is braised. This is seared and braised pork shoulder, and I just did a little broccolini for you on the side, just so you have a little something crunchy and fibrous. And I'm trying to get into braising. It's fall and winter, like my favorite months, and that's for all like that stews and like hot stuff. So this is really just pork shoulder that I cut up into, you know, 4-inch pieces and seared with a rub, very easy rub, smoked paprika, salt, pepper, onion, garlic powder. And I seared it on a very, very hot, heavy bottom pan, and then just threw a half a cup of water in the Dutch oven, threw everything in there, let it do its thing for 3 hours, and it just kind of became so succulent and delicious. And I last night for the guys that I live with, I did it. I pulled it apart and shredded it, and they put it on hamburger buns and did a little pulled pork sandwiches, and then a little sauteed broccolini with some butter and lemon juice.
Falls apart in your mouth, man. Yeah. It is good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you like it.
It is good.
This is a contender. You got food in your
right
mouth.
Here. You like it so
I'm
much.
I'm going to assume it's a compliment. Gina, this is a contender for one of your all-time best.
Thank you.
This is also up my alley. I love pork shoulder, pork butt, pulled pork.
Yep. Pork butt does not come delicious. From the butt, by the way.
Pun from the shoulder.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I really did get a beautiful cut from Butcher Big Box and really want to thank them for that. And I won't say it's easy. I will just say it involves cutting and putting in an oven and walking away and coming back in 3 hours. But it's not easy, but it does take some work. But it really, if you have time to walk away from it and let it do its thing for a couple hours in the oven, you don't have to do a whole lot for this.
Mike, can I ask a question? My guess is that there's little to no sugar in this
because
there's no sauce. This is
correct.
All rub.
Yes, which, no
is it,
sugar.
Is it Aussie's rub? Where'd you get the rub
from? No, I just made it. It's just, it's literally just smoked paprika. I love smoked paprika. That might be my favorite seasoning. Smoked paprika, salt, pepper, onion, and garlic powder. I think that's it. But this will all be up on the website, inspired, of course, by this segment and from Vinny and from Adam. Grainfreecomfortfood.com. That's my website, where I put all this stuff up that they eat. And I'm so glad you guys like this one.
Love it.
Well, it's great. And again, it's so sad that everyone's idea of a diet was just like a bunch of like carrots cut up with no salt and like a bunch of raw vegetables.
Sadness.
And somehow eating a bunch of like 8-grain bread and stuff like with no butter. Mm-hmm. Like it was like
margarine.
Yeah, it was like a diet was, well, you know, you're going to be punished.
Yeah.
Like, you got fat.
I got to be good.
Doing, eating yummy stuff, and now you're going to get punished. And it's just such, the notion, it's just such a weird, just what red meat, you know, pork, beef, like, their whole, my whole growing up was like, look, here's how meat works. It's bad for you, but you can eat the least flavorful. Well, basically, you can have fish and you can have chicken, but only the breast.
Well, yeah, that's just the skin.
No skin and everything. And if only it's cooked on the hood of a car on a hot day in Van Nuys. Right. With no, but you can't use salt, butter. You can't use oil. You can't just poached halibut.
Yeah.
You know, or you would take the chicken breast, we take everything off it, and then we just dry it in the sun. And you can eat that.
You have some pepper.
Yeah, that's fine. A little bit. I mean, as long as you don't get greedy. And at some point, somebody figured out meat is meat. You can eat the red stuff. It's fine. The fat's fine. And everyone's world turned around. And it is the self-imposed. I don't know if you guys have what I have, but I have an almost obsession with a kind of self-imposed misery.
Yeah, why people, do it to yourself?
People do it. Sometimes they do it in relationships, they do it at the job, they do it with the food, like they do things, they impose it on themselves. Now, to be fair to me, I was sold this bill of goods my entire life, and I had a mom who bought in hard.
Yeah.
So, now she's in charge of who's buying the meat. She's not buying the meat because meat is murder. Like the two things we learn, like there were two things I was sure of. By the time I was in the sixth grade, no nukes and meat is murder. Like the fat, the worst thing you can eat is a steak with marbled with fat. So the best thing you can eat is a steak, and the best thing we could do if we're trying to clean up our environment is do nuclear energy. So it's like the two things, but kind of exquisite examples of. It's hard to tell who. Who had stronger, like, was my mom's feeling stronger about no nukes or the meat is murder?
Oh,
like,
man.
they were
finish.
Both, Hold. Like, she was fucking wrong about both of them 100%, and yet she went all in, and I would assume she'll just kind of take it to her grave.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to be wrong now.
Because somebody got hold of her because they made the China Syndrome in 1973. and somebody said meat is murder or whatever it is. And she just went. She just went in. And then you start saying, like, look, you're much more it's much healthier to have a bowl of pasta than it is. And then once they get in their own echo chamber, then they just start running with it. And then that's
it. What you know.
They surround themselves with the same like-minded people. They never get any information. It never permeates their little bubble. And then 9-year-old Adam Carolla is eating whole wheat pasta with tomato sauce, no meat in the tomato sauce, with low sodium, plain tomato sauce.
Just mashed up
that's
tomato.
Suffering.
On what is like a ball of yarn. The whole wheat pasta would stick to it, just be a ball. It's like, hey, we're being healthy. No, we're not. We'd be better. And don't even get started. And so it's like, fish, okay. Chicken breast. Then there are parts of the chicken. You know, pick the least flavorful part. By the time you got to pork, they were done. Pork chop, forget about it.
And once
no way.
Once you finished your dinner, your healthy dinner, your reward was some weird imitation dessert, like some version of dessert that wasn't the thing that it was, but it was like supposed to represent.
Carob.
We're in the Snackwells era, Gina. Yes. So we had lots of.
My mom enjoyed carob too.
You're much better off. Look, if you're going to eat carob, which is just calories and some sort of bean that's been minced up, then just have chocolate.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same thing. The same thing to your liver.
Yeah.
All right. Let me, do we have an outro? Do we hit it?
Reach your feelings.
Brought to you by Butcher Box.
Do some healthy eating.
Yeah.
Glad you liked it.
Love it. Butcher Box, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork. That's the old kind of pork chops that were good, had the fat on them, not the new other white meat dry stuff. And wild Alaskan king salmon. And it's right to your door on a monthly basis. Bacon is uncured, nitrate, sugar-free. Choose from 4 curated boxes or customize your own box. Each comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals, free shipping anywhere in the U.S. and except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment, cancel anytime. For 2 pounds of 100% grass-fed beef free in every box for your life, the life of your subscription, plus $20 off your first box. Just go to butcherbox.com or enter Adam at checkout. Butcherbox.com/Adam and get all this great high-end protein. Mm-hmm. All right. Political analyst Mike Murphy, who's been on before, is going to be on to catch us up on a bunch of stuff. And we'll do that right after this.
Corolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole, October 19th in Glendale, featuring Everride. The World Championship of Guacamole, presented by Corolla Drinks. Sound reinforcement from JBL. Visit JBL.com. Production and backline support courtesy of Champion Sight and Sound. Visit Champion.biz. The World Championship of Guacamole, featuring Everride. On October 19th, many will enter, but only one will win. Follow at Corolla Drinks for more details. You don't look at me.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, just wondering how long before the word black now becomes both racist and sexist.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Mike Murphy has been on the show before. He's a political consultant, political analyst. He's got a podcast called Hacks on Taps with Mike Murphy and David Axelrod. And it's available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Mike? Well, let's see.
Hey, Adam. Phone.
Hey, thanks for joining us.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having me on.
What's your take on the debates and other subjects? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's funny. They pay me to cover this stuff, but by hour two of that debate, I was feeling some pain. It just was not completely electric, but it was notable because for the first time, they were all kind of in one cage together, mm-hmm. and that meant there'd be some natural conflict. I mean, there were three players holding cards right now with some time left to happen in Iowa, which tends to go late and surprise people. But you've got obviously Biden with a big chunk of vote. You got Elizabeth Warren, who's a candidate who's been coming up for a year point by point. and Bernie, who's hanging on to kind of playing the old hits, being Bernie, but he's kind of capped. So I thought the understudies did pretty well. Booker, Klobuchar, they were all up against it because they're running out of money and running out of time, and they had to pop out a little, and I think a couple of them did. That said, no big changes, though I think Biden took a few hits when he, in the last hour, after being pretty good in the first hour, he started kind of wandering down Word Lane there and talking about putting on the record player. I thought he might say, take the kids to a talkie. it was getting deep into the kind of old for the job business there, and we'll see if that hurts them.
Yeah, it's always this weird thing because we have this relationship where we want experience and we want slow and steady, but we don't want old.
Right.
So I don't know.
How's that work?
We love AOC, but we want Joe Biden because we feel. But then we call him old, and then the thing about if you're old, anybody who's doing any public speaking can have a hiccup or misspeak or not hear something or make a reference or what have you. But if you're old, it all gets chalked up to being old.
Right.
If you heard 29-year-olds speak, there'd be a whole bunch of little hiccups as well. But no one ever goes, aha, they've lost their fastball, you know. So Biden seems like a decent – he seems like a decent guy to me.
Sure.
The guy, and Bernie scares me.
Mm. Bernie scares all children.
Beto, I always feel like, is just figuring out what everyone wants and then just hitting it harder.
He's throwing Hail Marys at this point.
And but he's good at it, or he was.
He's like, it's just the nonstop beating of the drum of like, this country was founded on slavery. It was built on the backs. So it's like, yeah, we get it. Everyone knows. We understand. Yeah. What's the plan? I mean, it's 2020. What should we do moving forward? Or should we just stare at ourselves, look at our history, and just loathe ourselves? Like, what is it, Beto? And why does he feel why is that so attractive to everyone, that here's what happened, we're so bad?
I don't think it's that attractive for that many people. He went from a front runner to somewhere between 1-3% in the polls. Like, no one's faded it nearly as much as him.
Yeah, what do you think, Mike?
He had that good ride in Texas where he was kind of a rock star, but he lost. And one of the reasons he did well was Ted Cruz, the guy he was running against, was kind of unpopular even in Texas. He had the meanest thing ever written about him, I think, by a reporter who called Ted Cruz a sitcom Dracula, which I thought was actually mean but funny.
And mean but funny.
But then he gets into the majors, and he doesn't have a lot. He kind of looked like the PR guy who worked for the auditorium who kind of stumbled up and grabbed a podium. This last debate, though, by going so hardcore on gun control, he appealed to a lot of liberals, so he could have a little run now just based on that.
I hate it when guys sauce out. Like, when I don't know what happened with Beto, but he made some comment that, you know, he was on the road and his wife was taking care of the kiddos or whatever it is. And somehow, because we live in an insane society, he got slapped around for suggesting that his wife is taking care of the kids while he's on the trail or whatever. And then he basically apologized and walked it back. And it's like, I don't know. Wasn't he just saying what he meant? And was that a slap in the face to his wife? Like, I don't remember what it was. Much ado about nothing. Right. But the point is the woke scolders got it and went, march it back. And he's like, we'll do. And I'm like, I don't know. Just start owning it. Just own it. You didn't say anything about your wife.
Well, that's the new culture we have. And the thing to remember about these debates is, these guys are playing in the Democratic primary, which is about 30 million people, which means they're 100 million short of the general election. So they're playing to a niche, and it's the wokest place on earth right now. I mean, I was almost a little bit bothered by ABC, who I thought did a pretty good job at the debate, but the way they segregated the questions. So we're going to go to Ramos, who's a well-respected journalist, and he only gets to ask the Latino questions.
I hate that.
She only gets those. It's overkill. It's gone crazy.
It's weird. I don't know if you guys... So put you on hold for 1 second. It's a little crackly. I'll try it again. Yeah, he just got a call from his wife. This is Beto, who is back in El Paso, where she's raising, sometimes with my help, 3 kids. He's making a self-deprecating joke about his wife doing all the work.
Right.
We got to slap a guy around for... Right. saying my wife's doing the hard stuff or doing all the work and I'm like on the road and he's got to apologize to all women or whatever. It's quite the contrary. I think he's...
What do you think? He's bragging about being a deadbeat dad?
I don't know.
Or making a joke that he's always on the road. And running profits.
And he's giving kudos to his wife, who is staying behind and doing the work. Yeah. It's like, what do we need to walk that one back for? I just feel like it was a self-deprecating line, and stick with it and underscore the part where your wife's doing a good job. Sorry, Michael. You there?
No worries.
It drives me insane. It drives me insane when you have to have Ramos ask the question about illegal immigration. It's like when they do Good Morning, whatever, and they get the black reporter to sit down with the black mother.
It's a little condescending.
It's weird. Robin Roberts doesn't have to just talk to black people. And white. Same with white. Like, just go do get a reporter. So we do tons of that. Kind of weird to me. It feels like racism.
It feels like reverse racism.
It's infected the Democratic primary too, and part of its reaction to Trump was like the anti any of that to a crazy amount. I thought the other big debate thing that happened that might impact the race was for the first time Elizabeth Warren got put on the defensive, mostly by Biden, a bit by Klobuchar, on this Medicare for all thing. You know, how are you going to pay for it? Hamada, hamada, hamada. And it's the first time in all the debates where she hasn't been just full speed ahead knocking everybody down. And this is going to be a huge issue in the primaries. Because it means if you're a union guy in my hometown of Detroit, you're going to lose your UAW health care under this plan. And, you know, it's a very tricky deal.
I've talked to Dr. Drew about it. He says the doctors don't like it. I don't know what the answer is. I'm somewhere in the middle on this one. I like the idea. My feeling is this. Like, this thing where people go like, hey, everyone deserves world class, whatever. It's never going to work that way. People need a certain baseline. All humans, everyone in this country needs a baseline. Now, people would always pitch that thing of like, this guy's dying in the street because I never had insurance. I'd just go to County USC and just go wait in line. Like, it wasn't world class. You had to wait there for a while, but they would get to you, and they wouldn't. Dr. Drew is like, no one gets thrown out of an emergency room.
You don't get turned away.
You go in, they'll take care of you. There's a whole bunch of waste. I get it. Things need to be fixed. I get it. But I don't have this, like, Nana gets pushed out in the street to die. But also, I do feel like your health care, whether it's what you eat or whether your family's insured or taken care of, is on you. It's not just a right. You know what I mean? Like, you just have a right to, you know, world-class health care. Like, no, you have to plan, you know, have a job. Don't have a bunch of kids if you don't have a job. Have insurance. Eat well. Exercise. Like,
be accountable.
You should be a little more involved rather than this is just what you get this by virtue of being born in this country. Sorry, Michael.
It's a blank check. You're going to subsidize a lot of bad decisions. The key is to have good health care accessible to everybody at a reasonable price. And then people will make smart decisions.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be free. It can cost something. Because I do like the skin in the game part. Julian Castro, are we calling him Julian Castro? He said he committed suicide with the whole Biden thing.
You know, I've been in this racket a long time, and it's the first time I saw a guy not only blow up his dormant presidential campaign, but wipe out his promising vice presidential campaign in about 14 seconds. I mean, Evel Knievel would have said, oh, Jesus, you know, too risky, pal. Because even if they don't elect Biden the nominee, he is beloved in the party. They're either going to give him the nomination or give him a gold watch. And by basically saying, hey, Grandpa, you're senile, he introduced an issue that could be trouble for Biden, but he blew himself up with little chance he had.
Did it help at all that later it seemed like Cory Booker kind of took a little bit of the heat off of Julian, or it's too late?
I think it's too late. I mean, Booker's got his own problems. I'm kind of surprised he went there. People like Biden. Biden is making gaffes, but he's hanging in there because he's old Joe and people like him. I think he's a very vulnerable front runner, but the direct attack like that, almost a Trumpian thing of, hey, you're nuts, you could feel what was left of the Castro campaign just crumpling up.
Well, can we agree that with Biden, you know, what we do, I mean, what we want, I think, as a society, it's not, it's like food. It's like, what do we think of Thai food? I love Thai food. All right, but if you eat Thai food for 3 days, you're kind of in the mood for something else. And so we've got an ass full of Trump, and now we want something else. And the something else, Bernie Sanders doesn't feel like the something else.
Right.
Biden feels like the something else. Like, that is the opposite of Trump. Like, it'll be right back to business as usual. Whatever that was, this will be something else. The Elizabeth Warrens and the Bernie Sanders and some of the others feel like, well, that's going to be something else, but it'll be something else exotic. It'll be something crazy too.
Right.
I feel like the vote for Biden is the, we want no more. A vote for Biden is like saying, we don't have to talk about politics for the next 4 years.
Right. Like, exactly.
We'll talk about baseball.
What we call that is, a lot of times people vote for what they think they didn't get the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So if Bush, he can't put a sentence together, he's not smart, they perceive, we'll get the erudite law professor, Barack Obama. Then Obama's weak, he's getting pushed around, red lines, gets rolled by the Brazilian minister of sport at the Olympics. You know, he's just not strong. All right, we'll get the guy who fired Busey on The Apprentice. Well, now it may rotate again to, hey, guess what? We don't have to fight about politics every single day and wonder what the next tweet is. And you're right, that's Biden. But Biden has to be a winner. You know, people in the polling say, and Democrats say, we like Biden because he can beat Trump. But if Superman can't fly, and if he loses that Iowa caucus to Warren, all of a sudden his whole thing could collapse. That's Joe's problem.
Aesthetically, Biden's been having some issues, unfortunately. And I'm not making fun. I truly felt horrified and worried about him. I don't know if you guys saw, but first of all, in one of the interviews, it looked like his eyes started bleeding. And then on another one, you can literally see him push his teeth back into his mouth. I think we have that for you right here. It was really hard to watch.
If you couldn't get it done after Sandy Hook, why should voters give you another chance?
Because I got it done before. I'm the only one up here who's ever beat the NRA. Only one ever beat the NRA now.
And they're making all these old jokes about him, and it's like he can't keep his dentures in, the poor guy.
Yeah. We ultimately live in a cruel society.
Well, you think Nixon versus Kennedy, you know, it's like who looks the best in a pressed suit and who looks the youngest and who has the best hair, and poor Biden's kind of flailing in that category.
Yeah, Bernie's older than Biden.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. So related question for Mike. Besides the people who are leading by a comfortable margin up at the top, Biden and Elizabeth Warren and Sanders, who would you think is a good long shot bet? I'm asking as a gambler.
I think there are two ponies here that you got to watch in Iowa. One is Cory Booker, who's a performer, man. You put a camera on that guy and he sells.
He does.
Let's see. He's got a very good organization and the spotlight may turn to him. His problem, like Klobuchar from Minnesota, is they're both running thin on money now.
Mm.
The other horse is Buttigieg, who's also very good as a communicator. And because he's kind of the candidate of, you know, guys who've got high SATs, he's raised a ton of cash, which allows him to hang in for a while. He can take a couple punches and not go broke. He's on TV now in Iowa, and he's young and fresh and doing kind of the contrast with Grandpa Biden. So those two, I think, are the ones who may break through. What you want is three tickets out of Iowa. It'll be Warren, probably Biden, and somebody else, and you want to be that somebody else. The rest will then start to wilt and go away quickly.
All right.
Thanks, Michael. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, man.
I think Buttigieg being gay probably helps a little, too, in the...
In the general or amongst Democrats? Because we're talking about the primaries? I don't know.
I know that part of the new world order is when we go, we need to find a new district selectman or a new dog catcher, a new whatever. Mm. If somebody goes, well, we get a female dog catcher, it'll be the first time a female has ever been the Glendale dog catcher, then we go, okay, that's good for a couple points. Like, we just want to be the first. We want to try to do something historical when we can.
Well, within the party, though, as Brian said.
Yeah, okay. I don't know.
Okay, I was going to say, it didn't work out so well for Hillary.
Right. No, it didn't.
Didn't. She wasn't the right candidate, but didn't work. That aspect didn't help her.
Part of her is she was a fixture and there. She didn't feel like groundbreaking.
She's the old guard.
No one was making up their minds on Hillary Clinton in 2016. You know what I mean? They had their minds made up a decade before.
Yes.
Did you happen to see, now everything's rushing back to me, Kamala Harris kind of seemed drunk at the last debate. And I don't know, that's why I was wondering if he was going to put her in the three that Brian was asking about. Because she's very poised, but she's been kind of stumbling, not literally lately, but almost literally when Biden said something, and he was very articulate, and he was making a point. He's like, we can't do this. There's another way to do it, but I don't know what it is, but we can't do it. They went to Kamala, and in a very sort of giggly, weird, slurry way, she said something like, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, why don't you say yes, we can? And like everyone started clapping and laughing, and it was bizarre. So I don't know if she's kind of losing her edge or what that was.
I cannot watch her because I always think of what's her name from SNL doing Beyonce.
Maya Rudolph
doing Beyonce. Yeah. Her voice. Mm. And it's weird. I haven't even been able to find copies of it that make me correct. I just hear her voice. I don't know if it's another Maya Rudolph character. I think it's Beyonce. I think it's Maya Rudolph doing Beyonce. Just her voice is so unique.
Well, that's why I want Cory Booker to win so bad so Keegan-Michael Key can get back in the game.
I love those crazy eyes, man. He got them. You got the Beto clip talking about why he's most qualified to talk about race relationships.
Why
is he most qualified?
Are you the most qualified candidate to address this divide?
You know, I called this out in no uncertain terms on August 3rd and every day since then. And I was talking about it long before then as well. Racism in America is endemic. It is foundational. We can mark the creation of this country not at the 4th of July, 1776, but August 20th, 1619, when the first kidnapped African
was
brought to this country
ago.
Against his will and in bondage and as a slave, built the greatness and the success and the wealth that neither he nor his descendants would ever be able to fully participate in and enjoy. We have to be able to answer this challenge, and it is found in our education system, where in Texas, a five-year-old child in kindergarten is five times as likely to be disciplined or suspended or expelled based on the color of their skin.
All right, so you're saying teachers are racist?
That's the implication.
Kindergarten teachers are racist. Yeah. I mean, back in your home state, right? I mean,
that's what it sounds like.
You can draw that conclusion.
Well, look, there's two boxes here. Either the kids are acting out at a higher rate than Asian kids, or by his estimation, the teachers are racist because they are expelling them at a higher rate because of the color of their skin. So you're calling kindergarten teachers racist. I thought they were heroes.
He's going to have trouble getting that teachers union vote. That racist kindergarten teacher vote.
Well, rewind it 10 seconds. Let's just do that. Let us hear the math one more time. All right. Again, you're doing an outcome-based study, which is fine, but I'm going to then extrapolate it one more time. You're calling teachers in Texas or Houston or wherever you're talking about, you're calling them racist. At least that's what I'm hearing. Jesus Christ, you have to just keep back. It makes people angry. It agitates people. I don't think it helps anybody. All right, let's hear them one more time.
We have to be able to answer this challenge, and it is found in our education system, where in Texas, a five-year-old child in kindergarten is five times as likely to be disciplined or suspended or expelled based on the color of their skin. In our healthcare system, where there is a maternal mortality crisis three times as deadly.
All right, so there's racist school teachers. Because if the kids are acting the same as everyone else in the class and they're being singled out, as he says, because of the color of their skin, then Texas kindergarten teachers are racist. And they shouldn't applaud that either. But
come on,
listen,
people.
Dumb people, that's what he's saying. Mm. Or he doesn't really believe that. Right. Or either way, somebody should have him now spell it out. Are the teachers racist? Absolutely not, he would say. Now then, what is the problem? He would then say systemic racism, right. To which I would say, well, that then makes the teacher racist.
Hot potato right
and
back.
He's like, no, it's woven into our DNA. And it's like, okay, but it's also woven into Mrs. Sontag's DNA, who's suspending the black kid over the white kid. Mm. Or there's something else going on, and if there is, perhaps we should explore that. All right, let's see. Let me hit Castrol here. Stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance. Due to friction, Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal from rubbing and robbing, unlocking exhilarating performance. Three times.
Three times, fool.
Stronger, fool, than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol Edge. Formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. Castrol Edge. All right, let's take a quick break, come back, do some news right after this.